Deuteronomy 26, 1 to 11. And the context of it is the idea that Israel, commanded by God, will give the farmer and peasant will give the first fruit of the land which they are about to enter, the promised land, to God. And probably what they're talking about is what we would call the Feast of Pentecost, which was the Feast of Weeks. And there are two growing seasons in Israel, and the spring season begins at the Passover. We remember the Passover because it was the Passover of Jesus' death and his resurrection that we celebrate every Easter. But the barley harvest would be harvested then, and then other fruits. By the time Pentecost rolled around, there would be other grains and fruits that would be harvested. And then there would be a fall harvest as well. So what we're talking about is the spring harvest and giving one's best to God in thanksgiving. And what we're concerned about this evening is what the thankful recipient of God's grace says about his and her past as a nation and what God did. So what I will be speaking on is the idea of gratitude and thankfulness because of memory. Now the reading of the word.
Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 1 through 11. When you have entered the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and have taken possession of it and settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land the Lord God, your God is giving you, and put them in a basket. Then go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name, and say to the priest in office at the time, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land the Lord swore to our forefathers to give us. The priest shall take the basket from your hands and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, my father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, putting us to hard labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with miraculous signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, O Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. And you and the Levites and the aliens among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. It's good to see more of you here than I thought. Usually I stand up there because people have a better view of me, but I think I can come down here because there's a smaller group. And I want to talk about the idea of gratitude and remembrance because that seems to be integral to what the Deuteronomist is talking about. Gratitude is forged on the anvil of memory and remembrance. And when we look at it, and I want to just kind of take this as a layer and peel it like an onion skin, the first thing that is obvious is that the supplicant who comes with the first fruits has to say, I remember when I was in Egypt, when I was enslaved. I remember that terrible event. I remember the bad things in my life. I remember the dead ends in my life, the sins in my life, the things that went wrong, perhaps that I couldn't help. I remember those things. And when life seemed impossible for me, as it certainly must have been for those Egyptian slaves, they called out to God and God rescued them. And isn't that our lives as well? I mean, just think of some of the tough things you've been through in your life. And you know, we get so busy in our lives nowadays that we don't have time to remember. We don't have time to look back. And if we do, you know, if we could look back, then some of the problems we're facing today and some of the problems that loom before us in the near future would, I think, take their rightful place because we understand that in the past, God worked miracles in our lives. There were events in our lives which we thought we could never get out of. We were in bondage as the Israelites were in bondage, maybe not literally, but figuratively in some way. Think of the worst times in your life. And I think we need to do that, you know. Sometimes we try to just eradicate and efface anything in the past which is painful because we think that it'll be okay if we can do that. But that's not what Scripture tells us to do. That's not what the Deuteronomist says we should do. We need to remember those times which were so tough that we could not extricate ourselves from whatever pits we had fallen into, but when we called upon the name of the Lord, we were resurrected. We were saved. We were given our lives back. We were given our heart back. We were given our mind back. We were given someone who loved us. And someone who had abandoned us comes back into our lives. Whatever our bondage was, whatever the hurtful action was, we were delivered from that. And we can have a grateful heart when we remember those things. But let me go a little deeper into this text, because the text doesn't say everything about the Exodus story. It's interesting what the Deuteronomist does not disclose. He does not talk about the 40 years wandering in the wilderness. He does not talk about the hunger and thirst that the Israelites experienced. He doesn't talk about the war with the Amalekites which took place. He doesn't talk about the plague which God sent after the making of the golden calf, the golden bull. He doesn't talk about wandering aimlessly for 40 years. He doesn't talk about those things. So, you know, we remember history selectively in some ways. And I know as a therapist, we often ask people who have been traumatized in one way or another. We often ask people who have been in their own private Egypt, enslaved in their own way, to recall and recount. But we have to be careful about that. Because if they say too much, they can become re-traumatized. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? If we say, you know, in order for you to heal and get better and to be thankful again, you have to kind of dredge up every painful moment in your life. We say that to the soldier who has PTSD. We say that to an adult person who was abused as a child. We say that to anyone who has suffered traumatically. Just get it all out. And that's not good therapy, by the way. But can you selectively choose what needs to be spoken to another? Can you selectively do that? And it's interesting. When we look at our text, what the Deuteronomist does not say, because God doesn't say you need to recount all the ways you sinned in that 40-year sojourn. That is not in the account. In other words, in order for us to feel grateful, we don't have to say, well, I did this terribly. I hurt my friend. I hurt my spouse. I hurt my child. I remember it was a few years ago, I did something that Martin Luther in the 16th century would have said, the devil would have blushed with what you did. What the Deuteronomist tells us is not to remember our sins, not to remember when we've fallen short, not to recount those so that we're entrapped and enthralled by that again, but forget that and simply remember the fact that when we were in trouble, God saved us and God rescued us, and that will give us a thankful heart. How am I doing? Are you following me still?
Amen.
Amen. Where's Harriet? I thought you were Harriet for a minute. And there's finally one more thing I want to say. And I love it. I love this because, again, Scripture just is like peeling an onion. There is so much depth to Scripture if we just look carefully at it, if we look carefully at it. And that's why I love Scripture so much. But the Deuteronomist talks about I was a wandering Aramean, and he's referring, I think, to Jacob, who was a trickster and did some things that did not please God or his brother, and his brother Esau tried to kill him, so Jacob ran for his life. But I like the idea that we all are wandering Arameans in some way. And although the 40 years in the wilderness is not talked about in Deuteronomy, what Rebecca just read, nevertheless, we get the idea that for 40 years they were wanderers. For 40 years they were wanderers. And my hope and prayer for each one of us is that we find a promised land tomorrow. And a promised land in which we no longer feel we have to wander hither, thither, and yon. A promised land where we feel settled. Where we're in the company of people who love us. That we can sit down to turkey or whatever else we're going to eat and we feel as if we're surrounded by love and people who care about us more than our imagining. Because you see, we live in a world where wandering is the de facto way of being. People are so restless. People don't know what's important, and they wander here, they wander there. And you know, the idea of the devil in the Old Testament, when we look at the book of Job, is someone who wanders back and forth. Someone who's not settled. Someone who doesn't know where he or she belongs. And my prayer is that we find gratitude in the company of people who truly love us. We find a place where we can truly call home. And so we, like the people of Israel, come upon the promised land, and they understand in their heart of hearts that no longer will they wander. No longer will they kind of circumambulate the desert in ways that they can't understand or figure out or orienteer their way through. That they've come upon a promised land where they can settle and build their lives and grow and flourish and prosper. For that's what God wants for each one of us. No more wandering around aimlessly at all, but in a place with people we love, where we can share our joys together. That's what I want for each one of us tomorrow. And that's what I want for each one of us every day of our faith-filled lives. Thanks be to God, for in Christ is our victory. Amen.